as if it had been stung by a thousand hornets. Both eyes, the good and the bad, had vanished behind mounds of puffy flesh, dappled white, and a gleaming, obscene scarlet. How Ryan could see this was a mystery. His nose was no more than a tiny dimple in the mass of his cheeks, and a puckered slit revealed where his mouth had to be. Experimentally, Ryan pushed his tongue between his teeth, but it met a firm, slightly soggy resistance. Nothing seemed to be happening to the vacant face in the mirror. No change of expression. Despite his apparent lack of eyes, Ryan could actually allow his gaze to wander down his nude body, away from the dappled balloon of a face. His breasts were engorged, pendulous, ending in dark nipples that were surrounded with porcine tufts of wiry black hair. His belly rippled from his sight like the Kansas plains, endlessly rolling. He could just make out his genitals. Beyond that, Ryan gazed in wonderment at the twin columns of his legs, his thighs diminishing toward the knees, the calves shrinking into ankles and tiny feet. There were what looked like septic ulcers along the front of his legs, raw and weeping, yet he wasn't aware of any sensation of pain. In fact, there was no sensation of anything at all that he could perceive. There must have been arms attached to him as well as the legs, but the strange angles of the mirror hid them. Ryan could almost feel his entire body swelling and rotting, bursting with a foul corruption that was likely to make his flesh split open.
Over, under, around, or through, traitor?
Ryan fought against the pressure, but felt himself losing control.
Over and counting.
Under and counting, lover.
Around and counting.
Through. Through counting. Through with everything.
The mirror was starting to vibrate, the surface shivering as if it were manufactured from a pool of quicksilver. Ryan tried to scream and sat up in the gateway chamber, his eye blinking, blood trickling from where he seemed to have bitten his lip. His heart was pounding, and he felt deeply, gut-churningly sick. For several racing heartbeats, he sat still, his mouth open, fighting to keep hold on the frail thread of sanity.
Fire blast.
The armaglass walls were crimson, a brilliant, startling color that flared at his eye like a bloody saber cut. The mist had already vanished from the chamber, and the discs in ceiling and floor had ceased to glow. The air was a neutral temperature and flavor, a little stale, as it was in almost every redoubt he'd ever visited, but nothing compared to the cold, thin gruel on the space station. Ryan looked down at his hand and nearly screamed. It was scrofulous, with flakes of yellow skin peeling away from the back and the palm. A purple sore the size of a .38 round glistened on the wrist. One finger was lacking the top joint, with only a blood-dripping stump. Two other fingers had no nails at all, just soft, wrinkled flesh. The nail on the thumb was grotesquely furrowed, long and curved, like sharpened horn. The middle finger sported a silver ring with an archaic world pattern. The stone was an exact replica of a human eye, made from colored crystal, with every tiny detail perfect. As Ryan gazed at the ring, the eye began to move, winking at him. And he saw a knife coming toward the eye, held in the hand of someone he knew was his own brother. Harvey Carter, blinding him, the knife hacking toward his own frightened face, waking him again. The walls of the gateway chamber were still that vivid crimson. Whatever was happening was worse than most jumps had been. Normally there was the brain scrambling and the nausea, but it passed, and once you had consciousness it was easier. But this was different. Now there were hallucinations that were so real they transcended reality. Ryan closed his good eye and breathed slowly in and out, counting. He opened his eye, fearful that he was actually losing his mind. His lips moved as he looked around, whispering to himself, his face angling from person to person.
Abe. Don't know his other name. Gunner from Warwag 1. Last man to see Traitor alive. Once badly injured, and I left him. We left him. No, I left him. But he pulled through. Yeah, that's Abe all right. Long, thin face and a drooping mustache. Carrying an Uzi. Dr. Theophilus Algernon Tanner, Born in South Stratford, Vermont, on February 14th, 1868. Married Emily, two children, Dean and... Dean's my son. That's him there. His mother was Sharona. Didn't know I had a son until he appeared. He's 10 years old. My son.
Doc's shoulders shook with a spasm. His pistol rattled on the floor, sticking from the fancy hand-tooled Mexican holster. Ryan concentrated as hard as he could.
Doc carries an ancient Lamar, a 63 caliber scattergun round in one barrel, and 9.36s from the other. Doc was trawled in 1896 to the year of 1998. Then in December of 2000, he was sent forward again to our time. He had a couple of real young children. I already said that.
Beyond Doc was a slightly built figure wearing a dark fedora hat. A pair of wire-rimmed spectacles stuck from the top socket of his worn leather coat.
John Barrymore Dix. Known him for 11 or 12 days. Years. The armorer. 5 feet, 8 inches tall. Weighs 140 in his clothes, soaking wet with all his blasters. Blasters.
Ryan closed his eye.
He's got the Uzi like Abe. And the Smith & Wesson M4000. Pistol grip and folding butt. Fires 8 rounds of 12-gauge flechettes. 20 razor darts to each round.
Oddly, he was finding it easier to recover the details of the weapons than it was to remember things like the names of Doc Tenner's children.
Doc's children. Rachel and Morgan. No, Titus, no. My father was... Julian, that was it.
Next around the chamber, lying with her right hand gripped by J.B. Dix, was a good-looking black woman, short, stocky, with her hair neatly tied in tiny, tight plaits.
Mildred Wyeth.
It was coming back more quickly.
Mildred Winonia Wyeth. 36 when she was frozen, after an operation for minor abdominal surgery went wrong. Ironic, since she was an authority on cryonics and cryogenics. Freezing people. Her father was killed back in the middle of the 1960s in a firebombing by some bush-hiding, running-dog, white-hood racists.
Mildred wore a Czech target revolver and a rig under her quilted denim jacket. She was the best shot among women that Ryan had ever seen.
She's the best shot of anyone. Of course she is. She won a silver medal in the last ever Olympic Games in Atlanta in 1996, and the free-shooting pistol came from Lincoln, Nebraska.
That's right, Ryan.
Mildred opened one bloodshot brown eye.
I'd like to go back there one fine day.
Christy.
Ryan started feeling the gray blanket withdrawing from his brain, bringing hope of sanity to him. Christy reached out and squeezed his hand.
I was raised in Harmonyville, not all that far off, 30 years ago. I'm an inch shy of 6 feet and weighing close to 150.
Her voice was helping to complete the healing process.
Got eyes like grass after rain, and hair like the heart of a forest fire. You know about the rest of my body, lover.
Christy's thumb and forefinger encircled Ryan's index finger, rubbing slowly and suggestively up and down it. To his own surprise, he felt that familiar, pleasant tightening in the front of his pants. Ryan managed to grin at her.
Yeah.
Now everyone except Dean was coming around. The young boy still slept tight, but his breathing was regular, and he didn't seem at all distressed. Abe had taken the jump much harder than the rest of them. His mouth hung slack like he'd been kicked hard in the groin, and his eyes were floating in their sockets as if he were recovering from a 3-night bender in a pestle gaudy bar.
Oh, I don't think I'm going to do this again.
Maybe we won't have to.
JB stood, straightening his hat and perching his glasses on the end of his nose.
Not for a while. Let's go take a look around, shall we?
Yeah. Why not?
The outside light, filtering through the crimson armorglass walls, gave everyone the appearance of ruddy good health. Ryan glanced around, ready to warn his people to get their blasters ready, but found that he didn't need to tell them. Even Dean was up and ready to go, his big pistol gripped tightly in both hands. He caught his father's eye on him.
That jump wasn't so bad, was it, Dad?
You're kidding me. I got frag grin going off behind my eyes.
Oh, fucking right. Oh.